We have a guest that is a absolute true native and an African-American here in Black History Month.
And another local champion. We love to celebrate them.
On Love in the Springs, where we celebrate the best and strive to elevate the rest.
You're listening to Studio 809 Podcasts. This is what community sounds like.
Hi, I'm Dave Gardner.
I'm Carrie Simison.
And I'm Al Brody, coming from sunny Patrick Shores of Florida.
We're coming to you from the beautiful community podcast studio of Studio 809 Podcasts at The Next Us, which is a lovely co-working. Co-working doesn't even do it justice. It's really got a great vibe. It's a beautiful building in the north end of downtown Colorado Springs. That's a thriving environment for entrepreneurs and solo artists, healers, and podcasters.
A real center of innovation.
Yeah.
And inspiration.
Yeah. We love being here. Wow. Well, this is going to be a pretty exciting episode. We're going to be talking about Black History Month and a few other things with a guest that we haven't had join us before, Chauncey Johnson. Thanks for joining us.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
We can thank Leah Withrow for introducing us to us.
I love Leah. Yeah, I tell everyone every time there's a connection there between doing something for the community. I tell them, love Leah, and I'm actually working with her right now on a project at the museum.
I have heard some rumblings of that. I'm super excited once we can talk about that, too.
Of course.
Now, let's see. A few claims to fame for you. Colorado native, right?
Yeah, born in Denver, raised here my whole entire life, though, taken in by my great-grandparents. Yeah, so that's been nice. And I also didn't mention I was born 23 weeks premature. Believe it or not, I have a tracheotomy and then a feeding tube. And you guys also as well maybe know I have a twin brother as well. And so same thing as well.
23 weeks?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Wow, you were in a rush.
Yeah, I was a half a pound and he was a pound.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's just a miracle that you...
Yeah, we are miracle babies. Yeah. Man, very blessed.
But also, in your claim to fame category, you ran for Colorado Springs City Council D4 early 2025.
Correct.
And Kimberly Gold kicked your butt?
Yeah.
Just a little?
It was good. I enjoyed it. It was definitely nice. I think out of all the races, probably the cleanest ones out of all the districts, we sat down very early in this process and talked a lot and made sure that wasn't going to be the norm there. That was very good. And she's lovely. I was actually just at an event last night with her for a town hall.
I think she's endorsed you in the campaign that you're in now, hasn't she? Because that's the other thing is you're running for state representative in District 17.
Yes, correct, in a primary.
Yeah, right now. Yeah. Got to get through the primary.
Yeah.
And that's in June in the Democratic primary. And that district is basically south of Platt Avenue.
Yeah, so if you want very good geographical lines, if you're going west, it goes all the way to I-25 corridor, so Hillside all the way down to like sort of Stratmore Hill. Going all the way south down to Drennan, Milton E. Proby type of area, and then going out east all the way out to, of course, to the airport and that whole entire commercial space, and then going up north, up Platt, and then a little bit of Pikes Peak as well. So pretty big area. Most people don't think that, but very big.
So those give us a few things to talk about, but also if you look in Wikipedia under civic engagement, your picture's right there.
Oh.
Shouldn't it be?
100%.
Yeah, this is just half of your resume of civic engagement, so thank you for that.
Thank you. Me and my brother try to be very humble about our civic engagement, try to remind people anyone can do it.
So Chauncey, where did that start? What drives you to do this?
Me and my brother talk about it a lot. I think it starts with our grandparents, especially my great-grandmother. I really gave that to her. She started this thing called the John Adams Neighborhood Council when we were younger and when we were kids, and just doing that and doing a lot of walk neighborhoods. We actually were reminiscing, and there was a article that we were reading about how she got a block grant for our neighborhood to help out and do some things. Just that group that she had. She always take us as kids. Now, whether we wanted to go as younger kids, that's a whole different story. But we definitely did attend. But I think it made us more aware and conscious about what's going on around us. And they've always been very good at allowing us to be curious and always ask questions. And my grandfather always tells me, especially with the political stuff, he's like, what's your why? Why are you doing this? I think that's the most important reason to gravitate people to what you're doing. And that's a little bit of my inspiration also as well. My brother being a twin, that helps you. You also have competitiveness, but you also have a reason to push each other as well. And he does a very good job at always keeping me inspired and pushing me as well and telling me to say yes to a lot of things I want to say no to sometimes.
And let's see, he ran for school board, right?
Yes, yeah. And now, he's won, and he's one of the youngest public officials in the county, and then also as well one of the youngest on the school board in D11.
And that's another thing. You're pretty darn young, aren't you?
Yeah, 26. We just had our birthday in January on the 23rd. Blessed to see another year, and yeah, it's amazing. Sometimes it seems like we have a life as young people. But we're watching all our friends get married, have kids, and stuff like that. But I think we also do enjoy the work that we do because we are making it better, not only for the present people that are with us today, but also for ourselves and for our kids and for our friends that do have kids or maybe just want them in the future.
But no time for Tinder.
Yeah, no, no time for that, unfortunately. No, I tell a lot of people, everyone asks that for some odd reason, actually. They're like, what's your status? I'm like, very much single. I don't have time for that. And I also don't want to put someone through that.
But you know what? I think you're doing the things that are the best way to meet a romantic interest or a mate.
Yeah, I do think so. I do. Me and my brother joke sometimes looking for the Michelle Obama or the Barack Obama of my life, but that's maybe sometime in some other lifetime.
Well, when you meet them doing what you do, at least they're invested in the same speed of life and in same kind of things that you're interested in.
That's right. So. I think that's really important to me too.
I'll sign up for Michelle Obama. I'll take one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's one other reason you're here. You're a DEI guest.
Well, don't tell Trump that.
We want and need your perspective because we want to talk about Black History Month because we're in it.
Yep.
And we certainly have a valuable perspective that we'll be glad to chime in with, but we really want to hear from you about that. So what is it about for you?
For me, it's really deeper too, I think, because I tell a lot of people, especially with the work that I do, I live with it. You know, I mean, I live with Black history. My grandfather was born in 1930, and my great-grandmother was born in 1929 in North Little Rock, Arkansas. My grandfather, I believe, was one out of 13 kids, and my great-grandmother, one out of nine. And they've told us what their parents have been through and what they've been through. But I tell a lot of people when the Civil Rights Act was passed in 1965 and 1964, when they were debating all of that, and it was signed in, my grandfather was over 25 years old. Yeah, I mean, he's gone through a lot before he was able to. He was also a Korean War vet, which is a war that we don't talk about a lot. He was a gunner on a 50 cal machine gun. He's also seen a lot that I'm sure he doesn't talk about a lot, and I respect that. But that's why I think Black history is so important to me, because I live with it every single day, and my family's very much so ingrained and close to it. And I think that's what drives it a lot for me, and then also why it's so important, because that's also the community that's raised me, and I've also seen it through many other lenses as well. I have a lot of friends and community members that have also helped out, as my great-grandparents took me in. They were in their 70s, so that's not ideal to take care of two premature twins.
Yeah.
But we did have community that helped as well, and I think that also is why Black history is so important to me too, because the sense of community that it brings to you and what it reminds you of so much is so pure. And it also reminds me too, in the times that we're in, how much of it could be not too far removed, but also how much you have to continue to fight for those things.
Does it feel like over the last few years we've found out, wow, we haven't progressed as far as we thought?
Yeah. I mean, I have those conversations with my grandfather all the time, and he has said we have progressed. And sometimes I think, David, it is hard for me as a young person to see that, especially my experiences and the things I've seen and advocated for. But I will say, I do see where he's coming from. We're not in a place where he was, in the sense of you're not getting called directly the N-word all the time, or you're no longer getting services that should be given to you, or just basic services that I think any human being would want or ask for or deserve. And so I think in that sense we have gone closer, but I think in the sense of how further we get and how we treat it, it's definitely something that needs to be continued to be worked on.
Chauncey, it is Black History Month.
Yes, sir.
And Black history is being erased as we speak. As a young person, because I'm far from 25 or 26, how do you feel when you know that history was captured, it existed, like the Tuskegee Airmen, and it's being erased? And knowing that things that you don't even know are going to be taken out of context, like out of existence, what do you do about that?
It's definitely tough, but one thing that I do try to tell people to do is just continue to try to educate yourself outside of the environment you already currently have. I think that's really important. Also, one thing that me and my brother did too is we say this really interesting because I didn't finish, but I was a history major when I was at UCCS. And we said, it's not what you know, it's about what you do with the knowledge that you do know. And I think that's so important because a lot of people don't know. And I also believe that we're learning every day. I continue to learn every day. I don't have all the answers, even though the accolades and the resume might seem nice, but I also don't have all the answers either.
Nobody does.
Yeah, yes, sir. But I think the more that we have the conversations with each other and continue to be more out front about what is actually really going on, the more I think we could shed light on what's actually happening. But I also do think there has to be a vigorous appetite for people to go out there and be very against what's going on right now and speak truth to power and say, hey, I don't believe this is true. And I have proof of that. For example, I also think storytelling is a very huge example, i.e. my grandparents, my great-grandparents, having to be able to have the opportunity for maybe not to lecture someone on some history, but to tell them like, hey, here are my grandparents, my great-grandfather, 96 years old. He could tell you what he's been through. And then you could also see that maybe, yes, it's not at the degree in which it happened to him, but there are parallels that are happening in society right now today that echo some of the chambers that continue to echo from that system that was demoralizing him and a lot of other people that continue to have the skin colors, me and many others.
Is there something that we've erased in Colorado Springs?
Yeah, I think going full circle too, working on this project with Leah, as you mentioned, and especially being the 150th anniversary here, I think we've lost locally about what Black history was here. I think, for example, a lot of downtown and the Caneos neighborhood that got gentrified and literally wiped away of the Latino and the Latin community. And as well, the Black community here had a very huge presence in downtown, and it was wiped away and gentrified and then de-blighted. That is what I think we're missing locally, is talking about some of the things that has happened in the past here. And I'm glad that we're working on this project with Leah, because I think, especially it being the 250th anniversary of the country and then 150th anniversary of the state, I think it's really important to talk about how much Black people have given to the locality of Colorado Springs and to Colorado. For example, a lot of people don't know General Palmer, the person that founded Colorado Springs that we talk about all the time and glorify sometimes. His right-hand man was a Black man that he trusted very much, and we don't talk a lot about that. Don't know that.
Yeah.
And that was through, of course, doing my work with the project with Leah. They gave us books and assigned them to us. I wish I would have brought my backpack because I could have showed it to you guys. But it has stories about how a lot of the Black history that we've had throughout Colorado Springs, when it mentions the gentleman and such a right-hand man that sometimes was questioned by his own family because the man was loyal to General Palmer and doing the work of building this great American city, shining brightly and everything like that. That, you know, sometimes, screw it. Yeah, I mean, I got to do what the boss man said. And so, you know, but that, again, that also, like, speaks to some tropes that systematically have happened in life and society, especially through Black history, that we don't talk about today or we shy away from talking about. And I think that's really important. So, yeah, even the unity coalition, which was created as well here in Colorado Springs, which was a lot of Black individuals and community organizations that helped to see fit that a lot of Black people get the rights that they weren't getting and deserve. There was actually a case that I did a study on during this project. In the 1970s, there was a gentleman, I think he's an African studies professor at DU, and he was coming down to Canyon City to one of the state prisons to teach about civil disobedience and then also just like civil rights and things like that and educating the young men in that penitentiary. And coming back from that trip with his students, he stopped at a gas station here in Colorado Springs, actually not too far on Nevada, like South Nevada. The gentleman walked in to get gas and he paid with his card because they had like state issued cards that you could pay for gas and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And the gentleman gave him the card and the serviceman was white and he took the card and he didn't believe that it was legit. And so there ended up being a whole argument, scuffle situation. I believe the gentleman was trying to get his card back and just leave. The clerk ended up shooting the gentleman in front of his wife and the kids that were on the trip with him, and also ended up arresting one of the kids and then brutally interrogating them and also just flipping the story. It was also found that the serviceman that shot the gun at the Black gentleman was also a military serviceman here in Colorado Springs at Fort Carson. He did not get a trial. They ended up doing a grand jury, which I also think that from a systematic standpoint that I have always not liked that happens to a lot of black people, indictments as grand juries do seem to be the way that people want to go. And you know what a lot of people don't know about a grand jury is you don't get a defense attorney in a grand jury, let alone you don't even know that a grand jury is even indicting you, until you're indicted.
Yeah.
Those are some things that I think have systematically been used not only to target black people, but very marginalized groups in the wake of what's happening right now. I think the legal system right now is that we're seeing Donald Trump personally do it. I'm not afraid to say it. You know, we're seeing him do it left and right with a lot of people. I mean, we saw it with the black congresswoman who was just trying to see ICE detainees and ensure that her constituents were okay. We saw it in independent journalists. And a person, Don Lemon, who's very known in journalism and does the exact thing that we are doing right now. You know what I mean? And those are very scary things and tactics that are being used. And so I think those are a lot of things that we should pay attention to. The local past, but also tying the local past to the present to ensure that we see the parallels that are slowly trying to be erased in itself so then we don't see what's being erased from us, if that makes sense. I'm a huge person that likes to look at history and look at the past and relate to the present and look at those parallels. And it wasn't too long ago, six years ago, that me and my brother were out protesting because our, no matter how people feel about the certain situation, but a person in our neighborhood that we knew and were pretty close with was shot in the back 9 times by CSPD here. And from that incident, of course, then a few months later, Elijah McClain happened in Denver. And then, of course, Breonna Taylor and then George Floyd. And so then that's when the protests started happening. And then we started doing a lot of that work as well.
As much as I would love to erase MAGA and Donald Trump from history, you know what? It's going to be important that we don't. We need to remember. Hopefully we're going to move well beyond that. But we need to remember what happened.
Yeah, I agree with you. I hope it's used as a case study to show what should not be done and what could be done if certain powers, certain laws are in the hands of certain people.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that's exactly why we don't want to erase the ugly history of how black people have been treated in this country.
Correct, 100%. I think the more that we continue to erase those things, we do a disservice to ourselves. We do a disservice to our future. We do a disservice to our kids. I tell a lot of people, it's funny, if you drove me to my house, you'd see 3 huge flags in front of my house. But people also know me. I'm also sometimes not a fan of our country because of the things that we do. But it's also, I think it's the most patriotic thing to also be able to question your country and be able to criticize it and be able to articulate it in a way into where you think it wants to be better. I think that is also patriotism as well, because I think that also gets lost too. Being able to call out the misgivings of our country and the still misgivings of our country and the things that are being erased is still patriotic.
Yeah, if you love something, you want to make it better.
Exactly.
I think we're seeing that right now with the Olympians who, you know, almost historically, there's nothing more symbolically patriotic than the Olympics. You're representing your country on an international stage. You're the cream of the crop, the best of the best. I don't even know what the right word is, but to watch these Olympians say, yes, I'm here representing a country and I don't believe in the way it's being run right now, it really makes you proud to hear them on that level of a stage stand up and say that. And then it's really heartbreaking to then hear the way they're being treated by the president, to have him call them out as, you know, losers and tell them they shouldn't even be on the team because they're exercising their freedom of speech.
Yeah, it's really shameful. I was just having a conversation with someone about this the other day when it comes to sports and Donald Trump and him playing in that and everything like that. One, to the Olympic point, I commend them. There was a Ukrainian bobsledder who the ICU just says, hey, you can't race anymore.
It was his helmet, right?
Yeah, it was his helmet. I think soldiers that died in the war, but also to black history. I think, you know, what it does a disservice to is we have a lot of incredible athletes from America who are black who are doing a lot of great things for our country. And to have a president sit there and call them losers, first of all, I would love to see him get on a bobsled. I really would. I would love to see him get on a bobsled and do the work that they do every single day. But also at the same time, it does a disservice to ask ourselves, do we even want to be in sports anymore? Do we want to do this work? And also you have to remind yourself too, I mean, the sports we watch, the basketball, the football, half the athletes are black. most of all the athletes in the NFL and the NBA are black people. Yeah. Now, even if they're not American or black, you know, those are things that I think is really important. And they do such an amazing job to the point where they're winning gold medals. They came out of poverty and now they're winning Super Bowls. You know what I mean? They're winning NBA championships. They're making our economy what it is. And you know what I mean? And especially what's happening with ICE right now, it's so despicable. There's been this huge debate within the black community. Do we participate? Do we go out there? How much is this our fight? And I try to remind people, everything's our fight. Even with the things that are happening in Gaza, I remind people, I was watching Mr. Coates, who wrote a book about Palestine when he was visiting there. I apologize for forgetting his first name. A very good intellectual gentleman. And I was listening to his story about when he was visiting Gaza. And because of his certain religion and also color of skin, he couldn't walk on certain sides of the street or couldn't pass certain places. And I was like, if anyone heard that, that would remind them of the 1960s here or 1950s here.
Yeah.
And no one should ever feel that way.
Yeah.
Especially when apparently we are the country that has said we've came so far. And if we can't acknowledge things like that, then we do a very disservice not only to our future, but to ourselves. And we're seeing Donald Trump use black people right now. He literally sent ICE to Minnesota because Somalian people look like me. He doesn't want to tell black people that he doesn't like black people. He just doesn't want to say it. But what he will do is he'll tell you that by making sure that someone that looks exactly like you suffers. You know what I mean? So then you could say, okay, can that be me? Or try to put you in line to say, no, don't do anything. Don't do anything. The more that we sit down and continue to not be a part of the fight, the more I believe, personally, that we will end up getting lost in it as well. And not only lost in it, probably erased in it.
Now, we try not to be too overtly political on this podcast. If you listen to this episode, though, you'd think, wow, these guys are politically out there. But you know what? We're defenders and promoters of love and compassion and respect. And that makes it hard not to have the conversation.
Yeah, I really do think the times that we're in, and also the black history that's happening right now, and just right now, currently in America, we're seeing the first ever black woman in the Olympics on the women's hockey team, Miss Edwards. And we're seeing a lot of great things happen. But unfortunately, because this administration and people that continue to enable this administration, whether that's locally, state level, or nationally, we don't get to enjoy our month because of the unfortunate things that this president continues to do. And it's sad. Unfortunately, the thing that he did with the Obamas, which I mean, that was despicable and unfortunate and just sickens me. But that's not only a distraction to what our month is and to what we're trying to celebrate, but also to a lot of other things that are happening to this country that are also affecting our month as well. To your point, I think it is true. As much as you want to try to stray away from it, for me, someone like me that's, you know, politics is like something I do a lot and my environment, but also I'm a person too. I want a life. And so there are times where I don't want to talk about that, but it's hard. You know what I mean? And also you feel more and more, just as a human being, it is your obligation to speak out and stand up for these things, because if not, then what are you doing?
Right.
And where are you a part of history when everything is said and done?
How's our community doing with Black History Month?
I think it's doing pretty good. One, we have the first ever Black and Asian woman in Kimberly Gold, who's our councilwoman. So I'm excited for that. I think we're doing well, but I also do think there's a lot more that needs to happen. For example, we saw the Juneteenth, what happened with the funding and all of that stuff. And I had to end up being in the middle of the mall and the park. And so,
yeah, for someone that maybe isn't familiar with that, can you give us the brief version of that?
Yeah, our LART funding, so our lodging and rental tax, when people come visit Colorado Springs, their hotel and their tax money, and when they rent their cars and stuff, all that goes into a little fund that helps fund some programs and things that we do in our community. And some of those are like Fetchers Patrias, which is our Latino and Latin community event, and also Juneteenth, which is of course our huge Black history event that we do here, and a lot of other events that the city would like to put on to just show culturally that we stand with a lot of people, and just programs in general.
Yeah, Balloon Festival.
Just a lot of good community events that just bring people together culturally and show people our community. And our city in general has had a problem, unfortunately, with its budget. And due to that, some programs weren't getting as much as they did or were left out completely, which was unfortunate. But because of that, very good group One Body Antique, who does some organizational work within our community on the southeast side and just all over the community, I would say. They were expecting funding from LART to help out with this project, and because that funding was so low and all the circumstances with the budget and everything, the resources that were given, and also as well maybe it being put in the venue that it is because of the limited resources that were given, it was really unfortunate. But I think that's something that needs to be looked at a little bit more. But I also think too, we have a really good community, and I think communities came really well together this time. I believe it's going to be at the Penrose Event Center. I think I want to say it's going to be there, which is...
So 2026 Juneteenth festival will happen at Penrose Event Center?
Yeah, don't quote me, but I think I saw that because I know One Body Antique, they try to roll out things pretty early.
Because historically it had been in America, the beautiful park, for a couple years.
Yeah, and then the funding, of course, because of LART. And so that's
2025, it moved to the mall.
Yep, of course. So I think that's one issue, but I think it's improving. And so to the good part of the point in the community, I think that's the good that's happening in the community, is that community is rallying together to ensure that Black history isn't lost. And that Black history is always being told. We had Martin Luther King Jr.'s granddaughter here. She came and spoke, and such an amazing speaker. Very much, me and my brother are like, man, she reminds me of her grandfather so much, very, very well. And she's doing a very good job for our generation and for the next generation as well, and really speaking truth to power. And one thing that she said is really allowing the young people to sort of lead. And I think that's the one thing that's really good about the community and that I'm seeing, is that we're seeing a lot of allowance of young people to sort of not only take the mantle, but also have mentors and learn and see how the city could grow and evolve, but also take on some of these challenges that we're facing. And it's amazing to see it too. And especially with a lot of the Black history events that have gone on, it's just amazing to see so many different diasporas of thinking and thought and faith as well to come together and just celebrate one another and celebrate what we've done, not only just in this city and this country, but for everyone that you maybe call a brother or sister. So it was very nice.
Chauncey, you mentioned that you have three flags flying in front of your house. What are the three flags?
Oh, they're just the American flag. They're just your regular old American flag.
And then the other question is, we are the Olympic city.
Yeah.
And we have the Olympic Museum.
Yes, which my brother works at.
And it is Black History Month.
Yep.
Is there anything at the museum for Black History Month in the Olympics?
That's a good question. My brother actually works at the Olympic Museum on his part-time of not being a school board member.
Yeah, and they're probably a little preoccupied.
Yeah, they are preoccupied with the Winter Olympics going on. I know they're doing a lot of that stuff, but they do a very good job at trying to allow athletes to come in there. That's one thing that I'll maybe suggest to my brother and ask if they're not doing, if they could look at that a little bit more, set some time for that.
In 1968, there was a protest on the podium at the Olympics, and it was a Black protest, the fist in the air.
Correct.
And you're 26, and you're aware of it. So that was really the question, is, are you aware of it? But you are, so thank you.
Yes, sir. History buff by nature, so.
Wow.
All right, we have to ask this, Chauncey. What is it that you love about the springs, Manitou and or Colorado Springs?
Ooh, that's tough. Oh, I'm glad you gave me Manitou because I could slip in there. I used to work at the Penny Arcade. That was like a summer job for me.
Cool.
At the little concession stand, so that was nice. I do enjoy that place. I always like going there on nice nights and just enjoying myself. I really do think Manitou is a really good place if you just want to go vibe out and just enjoy yourself. The one thing I do love about Colorado Springs, though, is the community. Community has gotten me to where I am today. It's helped me through so much, you know what I mean? When my grandmother was diagnosed with dementia, a lot of that stuff, they've helped me out through a lot. So I think community is the most important thing that I love about Colorado Springs. Also as well, the growth potential, I think, is one thing that I really do love, especially as a young person. I think the growth potential is really there. I know a straight demographer and everyone else has said it. It's definitely there. I'm just about getting in there.
I'm not a big growth buff.
It's okay. Yeah. I understand.
Just had to slip that in. Okay, well, that's a good answer. And different answer than we get frequently. So
it is a great answer.
Almost 100% approval. So usually what we do toward the end of the episode is we share little tidbits of community news and events and stuff like that. I wanted to let you know we do have a working partnership with the Pikes Peak Bulletin, speaking of Manitou and their Manitou roots. And frequently their managing editor, Hala Ershadi, pops in to update us on some news things. She couldn't come in today, so she popped by the studio yesterday, and I had a good conversation with her about one of her recent news stories, which is about the Mill Street Community Benefits All Coalition. I'll let her spill the beans, and I'll share that conversation with you guys. And that's not fair to you, Chauncey, because you don't know anything about that. Yeah. Unless you read that story.
Well, I know some people about that. Yeah, I do know some people that are working in that organization, Diaspora. And also as well, I do know that community benefit agreements is something that I hugely support, and I think should be a rule as we're continuing to develop in the city. But I know that the Printer's Home is also being dubbed as a project for new building. They would also do a community benefit agreement. So if that group is out there and would like to talk to us, we would love to really get that started.
Yeah, this is right in your wheelhouse. Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad they're doing that. The Mill Street definitely needs that.
Okay, Hala, what kind of news have you got for us today?
Well, I wanted to give listeners an update on a story that we talked about some weeks ago about the Mill Street Community Benefits All Coalition. The group is concerned about a proposed development by Norwood Development Group for a luxury hotel near the Mill Street neighborhood, which is on the south end of downtown. Previously, the group went to the library district because this project is under the Colorado Springs Urban Renewal Authority and would utilize tax increment financing, which the library also does. So anytime there's a new entity that uses this funding, the other entities have to sign off on it. The coalition went in front of the library and asked them to hold off on a vote until Norwood came and talked to the group about how to minimize the potential impacts to the neighborhood that they're concerned about, namely rising property values that increase rents and push out existing and longtime residents. Essentially, they're concerned about gentrification.
Yeah. Now, there had been conversations between the group and Norwood.
There were. And when we last spoke, which is about a month ago, I think, the group was hopeful that those talks would resume. But it sounds like from a statement that the coalition put out yesterday that they do not feel that the talks have been productive. I have reached out to Norwood. I have not heard back as of this time. But the current plan, the coalition is going to be going in front of the Colorado Springs City Council, and they're going to ask the council to withhold their approval of the Colorado Springs Urban Renewal Plan. This plan would use around $10.3 million of taxpayer money to subsidize the construction of this luxury hotel, because the Urban Renewal Authority in Norwood would say this is an area with blight. This hotel will be a positive development that will improve the area. So it gets this public money.
Yeah, and that wouldn't really be construction of the hotel, but it would be construction of sidewalks and modifications to streets, stuff like that that they can say is public-facing infrastructure or something like that.
I believe that is correct. I don't think it would actually be for the structure itself, but for improvements that would benefit that project and would have arguably a public good.
Yeah, and Norwood would incur those expenses in order to build the hotel anyway. So it's just getting help covering those expenses from tax dollars.
Yeah, and there's definitely a lot of planners out there that say that this tax increment financing is a great tool for redeveloping urban areas just like this. Other groups are a bit more skeptical of the process and say it does put a lot of public money into private pockets and do caution that should be done with care and oversight.
Yeah. Is the approval of the urban renewal designation or whatever it is that Norwood needs approved, is that on the council agenda? Is that something that's going to be on the agenda on the date that the Mill Street folks come and talk to council, or are they engaging in a preemptive strike?
Yeah, that agenda is not public at this time, but the group is saying they will be there to give comment. That could be during the public comment period.
Do they think there is some way that affordable housing like they have in that neighborhood today can really survive the ongoing development that's happening in the south end of downtown? Is there really some hope for that not to just ultimately be swept away?
What they've said in public statements and what they've said in private conversations is that they do believe that is possible. There are other examples where it's been done. One thing that some of the coalition leaders have brought up is perhaps utilizing land trusts. And that's a system where an entity, a land trust entity, might own the property, but people can buy or rent the actual structures that are on that. At least that's what I've seen with other land trusts, how it works.
Uh-huh.
And they have some ideas of targets that could be set for
deed-restricted properties in the area. It sounds like they are open to discussions. That's what they've been hoping for. I don't think they have hard and fast ultimatums of exactly what these targets need to look like, but something that guarantees some affordable housing that prevents displacement of these longtime and current residents.
Yeah, this is an interesting subject. I'm thinking maybe we need to get them into the studio to talk to us.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Did they give you a date that they're going to be at council?
Yes, they're going to be at the Colorado Springs City Council meeting on February 24th.
All right.
One last thing to add with this. I do think it's a story particularly worth watching because Norwood is such a powerful development force in Colorado Springs and could be a trendsetter if they decided to work with this neighborhood group. I think locally and even nationally, I mean, I think this is something that a lot of communities are struggling with of how do you grow in a way that does provide benefit and minimizes impacts to people for whom change might bring unwelcome side effects.
Yeah, it would be nice if the people who are preparing food in downtown restaurants and making coffee and teaching in schools in central Colorado Springs, it would be nice if those people didn't have to live 15 miles away because they got priced out of the real estate here.
Yes, and one thing that the coalition has talked about is there's already been a significant amount of displacement in that area. The Mill Street neighborhood is right next to the former Conejos neighborhood that was pushed out some decades ago when the Drake power plant was being installed.
Hey, also, let's give the Pikes Peak Bulletin another plug. You've got your listening tour starting up, don't you?
We do. We are going to be announcing the full listening tour lineup very soon. We're just ironing out a few details, but we do have one happening at the Manitou Art Center on Saturday, February 21st, starting at 6 p.m. And the goal of these listening tours is to hear from our readers how news can work better for you. How can we, as a small but mighty newsroom, serve you the best? What stories do you want us to have our eyes on? How do you get the news? Just how can we serve you better?
That's great. And I just want our listeners to know, since you can't see us, that when you said a small but mighty newsroom, the wind was ruffling your cape.
Thanks for providing that visual detail.
And you're going to be holding these in various parts of the community. So if you don't live in or near Manitou, you do not need to drive over or even bike over to the Manitou Art Center. They'll be coming soon to a community space near you.
Yes, and you can keep posted and get all of our latest stories and updates about our listening tours and other events by subscribing to our weekly newsletter. You can go to our website, pikespeakbulletin.org, and on any page at the bottom, there's a place where you can put in your email address and sign up for free, and you'll get our newsletter in your inbox once a week.
That's great. And full disclosure, Studio 809 Podcast, Loving the Springs Podcast, and Pikes Peak Bulletin, we're engaged in a mutual admiration society here.
It's so true. We love what you do.
Try to help each other out. That's right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dave.
There is another story in the Pikes Peak Bulletin. First Congregational Church in downtown Colorado Springs, their rainbow banner reading "A Just World for All" has been torn down yet again.
Who can be against that? Who's against a just world for all? That's like
the people in power.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, this stuff needs to stop. I think we should write an ordinance about it. At some point, you know, that is someone's property. So, you know, you are taking it. That is left. I mean, at some point, someone needs to be held accountable.
Yeah. Al, you had another news item.
This isn't good news, but it is real news, so yeah. I think it's worth speaking of. El Paso County had the highest number of impaired driving deaths in the state for 2025. And there's about 200 people in the state each year that are terminated, killed by drunk driving incidents. And of the 200, just in our county, we had 29. So I believe, and I don't have the exact dates, that we used to do more DUI checkpoints, and we stopped, or at least lowered the frequency of holding those. So it's my message to the community that maybe we should relook at DUI checkpoints and the things that actually work. But that's a bad trend for everybody. And just like the previous thing we talked about, who could be against stopping drunk drivers from killing people.
Yeah, that's really sad. You know, just a reminder, you get behind the wheel, that is a 2 to 5 ton potential killing machine. It has just so much destructive power, and you got to just take that responsibility very seriously. One last thing, the no camping ordinance is coming back before Colorado Springs City Council this month. Originally, they were going to wait till May, but someone's in a hurry to get on with that, so that'll be in the news.
That's unfortunate. That was talked a little bit about it at our town hall for District 4 the other day, but someone asked a question about homelessness because we were talking about the Southeast Strong Plan. So that was talked about, and it's unfortunate to see that's being brought up again for my personal wheelhouse, but I also don't think that these problems will be solved by just one officer, just one-stop issues, but I'm at least glad it's on their radar. Unfortunate that it's in the wrong direction and scope, in my opinion, but at least glad that it's on their radar.
No easy answers there. You got any good news for us, Carrie? We'll have to try harder next time. Well, there's good news that we have this 26-year-old man who has already in his life done more as a civic engagement champion than I think more than I have.
He's definitely ahead of both of us. Yes.
Yeah, that's exciting, and that portends a lot for the future. So, Chauncey, thanks for that. And if people want to learn more about your house race, where do they go?
Yeah, they could go to Chauncey, Chauncy Johnson, 4FORHD17.com.
I will put a link in the show notes for that. What else? Anything else that you want people to know about to follow you?
Just know that the resume sounds nice and it sounds glamorous, but I'm sure Dave knows me. I'm a very humble person, and just know that this work is not done alone. It takes everyone to do it. You could do it too. It just takes a little bit of action. A share is not cost anything. It's free. It doesn't hurt to help your neighbor. It doesn't hurt to help anyone that you feel is in need. And just know throughout this time of Black history, the only way that Black people have gone through things is through each other. And so we need to stand with each other and continue to be with each other. And I just ask that we continue to do that, not just throughout this time, but through all the time, because in our community we say Black history is not just 1 month, it's 365 days. And so let's truly live that and ensure that we're doing that, not just for us, but for everyone in our diaspora, anyone that is close or parallel to us that is facing any tragedy in this world.
Hear, hear.
And Chauncey, when does the project that you're working on with the Pioneers Museum, is that a summer project that'll...
Yeah, I think Leah gave us the date. I'm sorry, Leah, if I'm like teasing this too early.
And we don't have to yet, but we'll definitely want to...
It is the summertime around July. I could tell you that. I can give you a definitive date, but definitely in July. We're really excited for the project. I'm excited to be working on it. It's a huge project with a lot of people. I'm excited to be on it. I'm excited to reflect on our 250th anniversary of our country, 150th of our state. I hope people go in there asking questions, and I hope people go out asking questions as well of how we could become better in the next 250 years and 150 years that we're asking for.
Awesome. So that's enough of a tease to have people looking forward to July without giving anything away.
Oh, yeah. And if you come down, come to the museum, I'm telling you, you'll love it. A lot of people put their time and effort in this project on top of the lives that they already have. And it's just an amazing project. And I think truly a reflection on what we could do for our community even better.
Well, that'll be a good excuse to have you back.
And that would be Freedom to Thrive, the American experience in Colorado Springs.
Yes, because what is the freedom to thrive to you? Because it might be different for me and you, but we also do know that the freedom to thrive is getting lost, but it's also something that we need so deeply.
In the Pikes Peak region, there's no shortage of activities. Whether you're experiencing breathtaking parks or magnificent works of art, if you're getting fashionable at a film festival or fresh at a farmer's market, if you want to hear the sweet sounds of a symphony or the smooth shred of a Stratocaster, look no further than Peak Radar, your one-stop shop for all events in the Pikes Peak region, your free source for viewing and posting events. So no matter how you engage with our beautiful region, visit peakradar.com and get plugged into the peak.